Thank you everyone for joining today. Last week we read from texts of the from the second canto, first chapter, texts 5 to 10. And he how he says that the way to release ourselves from this net of sense gratification and this conception of sense gratification we have, because we think that this is how we have to lead our life. But we don't know that there is a very beautiful life that can be led when we live a life of bhakti. So the only way to come to that realization, to come out of this net and to bring Krishna as the center of all our household activities, is to constantly hear about the glories of the Lord and His pastimes. And then Sukadeva Goswami says that is, he says that is the method for Maharaj Parikshit to do, that is his duty at the end of his life. And then Sukadeva Goswami says that how he himself was very self-satisfied, self-realized. He did not even come out of the womb of his mother for 16 years. He was so self-satisfied. There's nothing to enjoy in the material world. He was completely in meditation. But then when he heard about the pastimes of the Lord, he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, he found that there was something much better than the neutral state of self-existence, self-realization that he was in. And that was about hearing the glories of the Lord and relishing his pastimes and serving him. So then he decides to come out. So today we will read how Shukadeva Goswami guides us on how every moment of our life is extremely precious and how nothing, none of that should be wasted in anything but service to the Lord and glorification of the Lord. So these verses are very powerful, what Shukadeva Goswami begins with. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam is very powerful. And here Shukadeva Goswami begins with a punch. And he's not leaving anything to be guessed here. He's not leaving anything to your imagination or anything for you to guess. He's directly telling us what we need to do and how important this is. So, and he tells him that I will recite the Srimad Bhagavatam to you because you are you're a devotee. You're a nice person. And you're a sincere devotee. And he says, one who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord Krishna, the giver of salvation. So he's telling him that please hear with full attention and respect. And he's telling us also. So this is how they're still instructing us through this pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we'll start reading from text 11. We'll read from 11 to 15 today. We want to go a little slow in these verses. Text 11. एतन्निर्विद्यमानानाम् इच्छतं मा कुतोभयं योगिनां नृपनिनीताम् हरेर्नामानुकीर्तनम्. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So this is the only way. One thing is hearing about the Lord. He already described that. And then he's talking about the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And he said it is not that you do it at the basic stage and then you leave it at a higher, when you reach a higher stage in bhakti. That is the way for perfection for everyone. Even those who are free from desires, those who are full of desires to enjoy, and those who are self-satisfied also. So he's telling this chanting of the holy name of the Lord is extremely important. And this is a big purport, but we will read it because it's very instructive. Request Prabhu Mataji to please read the entire purport for all of us.
The great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire, if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukdev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus, the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Supreme Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all of the previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers or devotees of the Lord. Shall I continue, Madhuri?
Yeah, please read the whole purport. It's nice. Yeah.
Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended on the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to say the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universe, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord. And there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the order of the authorized acharyas as spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a more fund of knowledge, who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his only name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of oneself only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconception.
Hi Krishna. Thank you so much for reading this entire purport. So here Sukadev Goswami speaks about the importance of chanting the holy name and how by doing that we can achieve all success, all protection from fear and all you know, gradual growth in our spiritual life. And then also then Prabhupada explains the offenses that we must avoid, as they are mentioned in the Padma Purana. There are 10 offenses, and every morning they are chanted in the temple before the japa session starts. And these, we have to protect ourselves very well from committing these offenses. We should not commit these offenses, because if we commit these offenses, then the desired effect of chanting will not be achieved. So there are no rules and regulations for chanting, but we must guard ourselves from committing these 10 offenses. And the first one is to criticize the devotees of the Lord, which we must avoid completely. And then so on, as it has been explained. And then the more we do that, the more carefully we do that, then you will experience the factual effect, as Prabhupada is writing down in the end. The factual effect of chanting the holy name which is you will become free from the conceptions, the misconceptions that are created by the false ego. You will find yourself making some advancement. You will find yourself being more attracted to Krishna's service. If we chant properly, one thing is we sit properly, we pronounce properly, we hear properly, and we protect ourselves from these 10 offenses. We don't commit these 10 offenses. Then we will see the effect of the holy name. So now we will read text 12, a very, very strong verse by Sukadeva Goswami. He said, Kim pramattasya bahubhi parokshair haya nairiha varan muhurtam viditam ghatate shreyase yadaha. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. So, this medical profession has advanced a lot because everyone has a desire for a long life. Now, it's a different thing that the promise of the long life that this material civilization gives you with these diet fads and with, you know, different exercise mechanisms and with these products and with this whole materialistic setup that has taken you far, far away from a natural way of life. Like, even if now you want to live a natural way of life, it is impossible. Like, suppose you want to use datun, the neem, the twig from the neem tree for your cleaning of your teeth. It's very hard to procure it. So even if you want to, this material civilization has taken you far, far away from the natural ways of life. And then because it's taken you far away from that, you fall sick and you have some different types of diseases which our previous ancestors did not have. And then to cure those diseases, there is a medical profession. So it's like a band-aid on a band-aid on a band-aid. And there's no use actually, it just covers the wound. But it prolongs your life, so to speak. But actually our ancestors lived much longer and much stronger and healthier lives. So anyway, we are still trying to prolong our life. But then there is no use of that life if you just spend that time of your life eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's what we have been doing all our lives. Animals also eat, animals also sleep, animals also mate, animals also defend. But we are also only doing the same things, but in a more deluxe way, you know, in a more royal way. They sleep in the forest floor, on the forest soil. We sleep on $5,000 mattresses with pillow tops and memory foam and whatnot. So it's the same thing. What animals do, we are doing the same thing. So, you know, we can keep making our life a better deluxe edition of what the previous years were. We can target, okay, next 5 years I want to have this target. My house should look like this and my bed should be this and my car should be this and my door should look like this. But it's just going further and further into having a more deluxe edition of our own life, right? Of the previous life. So if we are spending our life and we are measuring the success of our life by just doing that, then what is the use, Sukadev Goswami is telling? You're just wasting your time, right? And he's telling, better than that is a moment of full consciousness when you realize who you are, who Krishna is and what is your duty towards him. Because once you have that realization, you will start working towards the supreme interest. So very important to consider, and for that we cannot understand many times, and even if we understand, we forget. So it is better to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord and hear about the Lord, do service to the Lord, even if we sometimes don't feel like it, but we do it, because the more you do it, the more you will have proper realization and the more you will be properly situated. As Prabhupada writes towards the end of the purport, that even the lives, some trees have lives of so many years, 3,000 years, 300 years, 500 years. But what is the use of that long life if you have not been able to use it in Krishna's service, in chanting the holy names of the Lord? And then in text 13, he gives us an example of Maharaj Khatvanga. So we'll read that, text 13. Khatvango nama rajarshir gyatavye. Gyatavyeyatam iha yishu muhurtat sarvam utsrijya gatavanabhayam harim. So first thing you notice in the Sanskrit, he's telling Khatvango Nam Raj Rishi. So he's telling he's a Raja also, but he's a Rishi also. He's a saintly king. And Gatavyayatam, as soon as he got to know that Iyatam, Itna, only so much duration of the time is left in this world. So the saintly king, Khatvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. So now we may think that, oh, I can also live a life of nonsense, and then if someone tells me, oh, you're going to die right now, then immediately I'll take shelter of the Lord. That is impossible. Because your focus will go to your desires. So if you spend a life of desires of material sense gratification, at the end of your life also you'll think of that only. But if you spend a life of glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna and his devotees, then at the end of the life you will be able to focus there also, because that has been your desire. It's impossible to just switch like that. So we will read this purport, because nice story of Maharaj Khatvanga is also given. Would Malvika like to read this purport to text 13 for all of us?
A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for the prime duty. Maharaja Khatvanga is mentioned therein as a saintly king, because even in responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other Rajshri saintly kings like Maharaja Yudhishthir and Maharaja Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert in discharging their prime duty. Maharaja Khatvanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons, and as a king he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaja Khatvanga, being very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about the remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the demigods as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king at once left the heaven kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth, took ultimate shelter of the of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by the saintly king was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaja Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Swami Goswami, even though he had only 7 days left in his life to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the will of the Lord, Maharaja Parikshit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami and the great treasure of spiritual success left by him, nicely mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we have to be always alert, like Maharaj Khatvanga, to the prime duty of life. And so once you, every time you are alert, then even at the time of leaving your body, you will be alert. This is a wonderful example that, you know, what would our consciousness be if we are told you are going to die in the next moment? You know, what would we do? Would we be spending time in, wasting that time, that moment in lamenting and crying? Oh no, what about my this, what about this, what about this? No, this is unfair. Or will we immediately take shelter of the Lord? So, for us to be able to do that, at every step of our life, we have to learn how to take shelter of the Lord. Then we will be able to do that at the time of leaving the body also. And so here Maharaj Parikshit is also in a similar situation. He knows he has only 7 days left. But because he is a sincere devotee, then you know, it's arranged by the Lord that Sukadeva Goswami comes there. And he hears this entire Srimad Bhagavatam from him. And another example which I heard in a lecture, and I have shared it a few times on this call, is of Kamsa. So Kamsa, when he heard the Akashvani that the 8th child of Devaki is going to be the cause of his death, Kamsa got very bewildered. He could have really prepared. He had, Maharaj Khatvanga had one moment. He immediately took shelter of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days, but he took shelter of the Lord. Kamsa had 8 years. He knew Devaki, even if she gets married and even if she delivers one child every year, minimum 8 years he had to prepare himself properly for the moment of death. But what did he do? He, in his mind, he was preparing for that because he was trying to fortress, you know, trying to protect himself, trying to kill all the babies, trying to kill, you know, send all these demons to Vrindavan, invite Krishna to Mathura. So he was trying in a very material way to protect himself. But if he would have taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna would have never killed him. If he would have become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna would not kill him. But the reason is he was becoming a bigger and a bigger demon. Krishna had to destroy. That's why Krishna came. But if he had 8 years, if he had just taken shelter of Krishna, everything would be okay. But he did not do that. Right? Because it, Lord Ram tells that even if one takes... Hare Krishna. Who all are there on the call? Yeah, sure. Okay, thank you. Because I heard some like different type of sounds. I wasn't sure what happened. Did everyone have to leave the call or what happened? So sounds like everyone is still here. That's good.
No, actually my phone was giving me trouble, so I called from my cell phone. That's why the problem must have come in. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. No problem. Please go on mute. If because sometimes if two phones are on, yes, and they're on the same call, then the echo... Yes. Repeats itself. Yeah, I've had that experience earlier also. It's pretty scary. Thank you. Alright.
No problem.
So if Kamsa would have surrendered to Krishna, then his destination would have been, like, he would not have to go through this humiliation of being killed in that way. Right? He anyway achieved liberation because he was vanquished by Krishna. But it would have been more like a devotee. So, he would have not be like forced to leave his body like that. But he could have spent this time hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But he did not do that. So we have to decide, you know, will we be able to do like Maharaj Khatvanga and Maharaj Parikshit right now? Or we may not destroy other people like Kamsa, but will we be so bewildered that we will try to hold on to everything and protect and catch hold of everything like Kamsa was doing? Of course, none of you on this call will harm other people. But what will our mentality be? What is our mentality right now? And how we want to take inspiration from Khatvanga and Parikshit Maharaj. Text 14. So now Sukadeva Goswami is telling him that I already told you don't waste even one moment. I'm giving you the example of Maharaj Khatvanga. So Parikshit, listen to me. You need to take advantage. So see, this is how the Guru guides. The Guru tells you directly what you need to do. So it is very important to surrender to our Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. So that we can get this direct guidance. And the reason Maharaj Parikshit is hearing directly is because he is himself as a devotee. So Sukadeva Goswami knows that whatever I am saying, he will understand. But if you tell all this to Kamsa, he will not understand. So the disciple also has to present herself in a proper way. Text 14.
Tavapyayetarhi kauravya saptaham jivitavadhi upakalpaya tat sarvam tavad yat samparaikam.
Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration of life is limited to 7 more days. So during this time, you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. So he's not telling that, okay, now you can, you know, make your memories with your children, make your memories with all the family members, and create an a museum about all your, you know, paraphernalia. And all your glories of how many people you conquered, how many kingdoms you conquered, or you know, make movies, talk to your, leave messages, write letters for your children for the next 8 years, so that in every 8th birthday they have, they can just 1 minute. I'm on a conference call. Yes. So that every 8th birthday, like, you know, first birthday they'll open one letter, second birthday they'll open second letter, third letter, you know, we see it in the movies and even real life people do all that. So, just 1 minute, I need to close the door. Yeah, so he is not telling Maharaj Parikshit to do all those things, neither is Maharaj Parikshit interested. So Sukadev Goswami is telling, listen, you have only 7 days, so you use this time so that you can use this time properly for the best purpose of your next life. And if you, now one may think, oh, but what about the family, what about the children? No, the best example and the best gift you can give to your children is the how you are living your life and how you are living your body. And if you do that, then it's going to have a big impact on the minds of your children and people around you. And that is going to be the greatest charity. So the purport is, we'll read the purport. Sukadev Goswami, after citing the example of Maharaj Khatwanga, who prepared himself for the next life within a very short time, encouraged Maharaj Parikshit by saying that since he still had 7 days at his disposal, he could easily take advantage of the time to prepare himself for the next life. Indirectly, the Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that he should take shelter of the sound representation of the Lord for the 7 days still remaining in the duration of his life and thus get himself liberated. In other words, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as it was recited by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. The rituals are not formal, but there are also some favorable conditions which are required to be carried out as instructed hereafter. So again, Prabhupada is telling you, don't, it's not that there are some many rules and regulations, but still we follow, like we don't commit these offenses, we don't do some of these things. There are some do's and don'ts that we follow about the kind of foodstuffs we eat food only offered to Krishna, and the kind of lifestyle we live that helps us make advancement. So then he's, so if Parikshit Maharaj has been asked to take shelter of the sound representation of the Lord for the last 7 days, and he will be able to achieve full success in 7 days. What about us? You know, we are very distracted. So we must deeply take shelter of the holy name of the Lord in order to go further in our life. So text 15. Antakale tu purusha agate gata sadhavasha chindyada sangha shastrena spriham dehenu yechatam. At the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death. But one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. So again, you know, let's we'll read this purport. Not the whole thing though. We'll reach till we read the Brahma the Varnashram Dharma. Would anyone like to read the purport for all of us, please?
I can read.
Yeah, please go ahead.
An intelligent person must be prepared. Read from here or
No, read from the beginning till middle of the purport, yeah. I'll tell you when to stop.
That people think of making a permanent settlement in this world. Although it is a certain fact that one has to give up everything here that has been created by valuable human energy. Great statesmen, scientists, philosophers, etc., who are foolish without any information of the spirit soul, think that this life of only of a few years only is all in all, and that there is nothing more after death. This poor fund of knowledge, even in the so-called learned circles of the world, is killing the vitality of human energy, and the awful result is being keenly felt. And yet the foolish materialistic men do not care about what is going to happen in next life. The preliminary instruction in that one should know that the identity of the individual living entity is not lost even after the end of this present body, which is nothing but an outward dress only. As one changes an own garment, so the individual being also changes his body, and this change of body is called death. Death is therefore a process of changing the body at the end of the duration of the present life. An intelligent person must be prepared for this and must try to have the best body in the next life. The best type of body is a spiritual body, which is obtained by those who go back to the kingdom of God or enter the realm of Brahman. In the second chapter of this canto, this matter will be broadly discussed, but as far as the change of body is concerned, one must prepare now for the next life. Foolish people attach more importance to the present temporary life, and thus the foolish leaders make appeals to the body and the bodily relations. The bodily relations extend not only to this body, but also to the family members, wife, children, society, country, and so many other things which at the end of life. After death, one forgets everything about the present bodily relations. We have a little experience of this at night when we go to sleep. While sleeping, we forget everything about this body and bodily relations. Although this forgetfulness is a temporary situation for only a few hours, death is nothing but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another term of bodily engagement, which we are awarded by the law of nature according to our aspiration. Therefore, one has only one to change the aspiration during the course of this present body. And for this, there is a need of training in the current duration of human life. This training can be begun at any stage of life, or even a few seconds before death. But the usual procedure is for one to get the training from very early in life, from the stage of Brahmacharya, and gradually progress to the rest, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa orders of life. The institution which gives such training is called Vanasana Dharma, or the system of Sanatana Dharma, the best procedure for making the human life perfect. One is therefore required to give up the attachment to family or social or political life just at the age of 50 years. If not earlier, and the training in the Vanaprastha and Sannyasa ashramas is given for the preparation for the next life. Foolish materialists, in the garb of leaders of the people in general, stick to family affairs without attempting to cut off relations with them, and thus they become victims of nature's law and get gross bodies again, according to their work. Such foolish leaders may have some respect from people at the end of life, but that does not mean that such leaders will be immune to the natural laws under which everyone is tightly bound by the hands and feet. The best thing is therefore that everyone voluntarily give up family relations by transferring the attachment from family, society, country, and everything thereof to the devotional service of the Lord. It is stated here that one should give up all desires of family attachment. One must have a chance for better desires. Otherwise, there is no chance of giving up such morbid desires. Desire is a concomitant factor of the living entity. The living entity is eternal, and therefore his desires, which are natural for a living, are also eternal. One cannot therefore stop desiring. But the subject matter for desires can be changed. One must develop the desire for returning back home, back to Godhead, and automatically the desires for material gain, material honor, and material popularity will diminish in proportion to the development of devotional service. A living being is meant for service activity, as his desire has centered around such a service attitude. Living from the top executive of the state down to the insignificant pauper in the street, all are rendering some sort of service to others. The perfection of such a service attitude is only attained by simply transferring the desire of service from matter to spirit, from Saturn to God.
Thank you very much.
Krishna.
So it's very important. This purport is very important, and I would recommend you all to read it again during the course of this next week, because it's telling us how we have to change our desires from enjoyment to service. And when Prabhupada is telling us that we should leave our family attachments, it does not mean that you don't do your duties towards your family properly. It does not mean that you leave your family and you go away. It means that instead of thinking my husband, my house, my child, think of, oh, these souls are there for me to serve them, because they are all parts and parcels of Krishna. So we have these different roles, and within this role, this is my service to all of these people. And the best way I want to serve them is that if I can also help them through my activities and my service to them to develop devotional service and attachment to the Lord. So through cooking, we cook prasad, because when they eat prasad, they get the, you know, they're able to understand finer spiritual knowledge. We guide them in a Krishna conscious way in their lives. And we ourselves lead a Krishna conscious life. And we really ourselves live a life valuing every moment and using every moment in Krishna's service. But there is no place for Satan to come in. And we go further and further in this Krishna conscious path, and we serve. As Harivilas Prabhu was telling, that for the woman, the best spiritual service we can do to the family is to transform all the lust we have for material things, the family, into love for Krishna. And that is a very powerful thing that a woman can do. And then three devotees are transcribing Harivilas Prabhu's lectures and lecture on that day, Powerful Feminine Qualities, and we will have it available soon. And we will share it with all of you along with the audio. So please focus on this particular verse very much. I'll read this translation again. At the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death. But one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. So think about it. Are we bold enough not to be afraid of death? I'm not even bold enough if someone takes away some things from me. Someone steals something from me. I'll be very disturbed. So what if my body is taken away? My identity is taken away, material identity that I identify with. Will I be bold enough? So I want you all to meditate on this verse and also think about what change you can effect in your lives within the next 1 week, within the next 1 month, within the next 6 months, in the next 1 year. What is your game plan? What is your goal plan on how you are going to go further and further in Krishna consciousness? Otherwise, you know, all this can become nice pious activities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, coming for Bhagavad Gita class. Well, this can become pious activity unless we effect a change in our consciousness. And that change has to come not in your external environment. The change can just, if you change your consciousness, internal, automatically external will change. And we will serve our family and our children in a much better way with the right consciousness. So with this, I would like to end the call. I'm sorry, I don't have time right now for questions and answers. We will cover that later. And also next week, we are out of town, and I will not be able to take conference call from there. But we will resume again in the week of, I think it's January 27th. So I apologize that I have to leave a little early today. I'm not able to do question answer session. But thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna.